You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Thursday, July 17th, and increasingly we've been reporting about clashes between NATO and U.S. on the one side and the Taliban on the other. There's certainly been an escalation in recent weeks, triggering many questions about the renewed strength of the Taliban. Award-winning documentary filmmaker Sean Langing, who'd already made two films on the Islamic militants, found himself in the midst of this evolution this year. Planning on an interview with top commanders, he was taken hostage for 3 months. Langing was released just 3 weeks ago, and he joins us now. Welcome, Sean.
Hi. Yes, nice to be here.
I'm sure it is. At what point did you realize you were in serious trouble?
Well, exactly. Slightly later than I think normal kidnap victims would be, because I was actually undercover, and I'd been invited by the Taliban to interview them. So it was only, I crossed the border, actually, from Afghanistan into Pakistan. And it was only on day four when they entered the room I was being kept in and said, there is no interview, you're under arrest, that I realized this was no longer a typical, for me at least, undercover situation, and that I was now under arrest by the Taliban.
And what went through your mind?
When you're arrested by the Taliban and they accuse me of being a spy, you think at that point you're dead, because that's not a good situation to be in, and they behead people they accuse of being spies. And perhaps unfairly, I didn't have much faith in their justice system.
So they put you under arrest, and you were kept in a room. Mm. Describe that room and how they treated you.
Yeah, I can describe that room rather well, because for 3 months I was kept in a very gloomy, dark room. There was it was about 9 foot by 10 foot wide. Two beds, two hard beds, one for me and one for my translator. And just when you asked me, you know, what went through my mind, he had a nervous breakdown, a mental and physical breakdown, because as an Afghan, he had very good personal experience of what it's like to be held by the Taliban, and he was sure they were going to kill us. So we had a small hole for our bathroom facilities, and the one window was covered up from the outside, so there was just a hint of daylight. And in fact, my only window onto the world was, one actually was the BBC World Service, which really was a lifeline. They left me a radio. But the other was a small 5 inches by 3 inch hole, which I looked through every day. And I could look out onto a few branches of an apricot tree. So I was kept in the dark for 3 months.
When you said you could hear the BBC service, did you ever hear any reports about your kidnapping?
No, and that was quite difficult. It was I pretty much realized there was a reason for that, because I know a lot of foreign journalists, and I knew they knew I must be missing, and it wasn't on the news. And of course, it turned out, I learned later, that the Taliban had threatened to kill me if it was in the news. And that's quite unusual. They normally announce it themselves. But I think it was the difference between my case and many other cases was I was kidnapped in Pakistan, and that made it a much more sensitive issue.
And you were taken to what's called Waziristan.
No. I was in a tribal agency called Bajor, which is just across the border from Afghanistan and next to a place in Afghanistan called Kunar, where the Americans are based. And there's a lot of heavy fighting there. And the interesting thing about having the radio was I would be listening on the radio about a report of a U.S. drone hitting a house in the tribal agencies of Pakistan, but the night before I'd heard the drone myself and heard the faint explosion. And even though I was locked in a dark room for 3 months and I wasn't allowed out, it's amazing what you can pick up. And every day I could hear test firing from the surrounding Taliban training camps. The reason why I went there to Pakistan, because as you said in your introduction, I'd made documentaries about the Taliban in Afghanistan, but many of the allegations are that their training camps are over the border in Pakistan, and that's their safe haven where they train, they recuperate, and they mount cross-border attacks on US and British forces. So that's why I went, and of course perhaps I went too far, I think, this time.
We always hear the saying when people find themselves in difficult situations that they see their lives flash before their eyes. Clearly, this must have applied in your circumstance. And how did you cope exactly? Yeah. You wrote a journal?
Yeah, I definitely had that drowning man experience, and it's very real, and it's caused by adrenaline and cortisone being gushed through your brain, that survival instinct. And so I could see, I had instant recall of every moment of my life from childhood. I could name every teacher. I could remember what people looked like, what they were wearing the first time I met them 20 years ago. So it's quite an intense experience. There was also a lot of fear, because you could hear the constant fire of from the training camps around. I was surrounded by training camps. Also, the people in the house I was being kept in, they were locals, you know, would constantly talk about, you know, the Taliban checkpoints around their house and how they would sometimes be picked up for not having the right length of beard, and how even there were Arabs in the surrounding area. So I was very much aware of where I was, the situation I was in. And as far as treatment is concerned, you know, they fed me. I was questioned at length, but never tortured, or there was no physical abuse. But
What insight, Sean, did you get from your captivity as a journalist and a filmmaker about the Taliban, about these people who are the focus of your efforts as a reporter?
Yeah. As a filmmaker, not much, because obviously I wasn't allowed to film. But I did gain an insight I hadn't gained in the many years I've been filming in Afghanistan or with Islamist groups and militant groups, and including the Taliban. I lived in Afghanistan during their regime. And when you interview them, obviously, they're always showing you their best side. But when you spend 3 months held by them, you see their real side. And it was much darker than I'd previously been witness to.
Wow.
I was confronted daily by a level of intolerance, ignorance, and hypocrisy. It did leave me slightly. I mean, I very much have a more of a real insight to them. And the hypocrisy is, you know, that it's about money. They're businessmen, a lot of them. They're criminals. The nexus between smugglers, heroin, jihad was very clear to me inside there. But journalistically, one thing I realized sitting in that room for 3 months and hearing the news from the surrounding area is that, you know, I know it's been in the news in America, and Barack Obama, the presidential candidate, has been referring a lot to the need to concentrate on Afghanistan. That in those, I'd been in Afghanistan when it was a safe haven for Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Sean Langing, we're going to have to leave it there. An incredible journey, and we thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Sean Langing, a British journalist and filmmaker who was held hostage by the Taliban for 3 months. He said he saw a darker side.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.